to be done and should be done, that's often an entirely different story. There are some texts of Scripture that as I prepare for the next passage of Scripture to preach, there are some texts that, it takes me 10 or 15 times to read it just to kind of finally get an idea of what the Lord is saying through His human writer. And I'll prepare for hours and hours and hours and hours, and I always prepare for hours when I preach anyway, but sometimes it takes me hours just to try to understand, and I'll dig into the language as best I can. And I'll read something, and I'll study something, and I'll think, what in the world is the Lord trying to say here? I don't understand. What's God saying to us on this one? But in the text today, it's almost brutally clear what God is saying to us. In fact, James seems like a man on fire and breathing out fire. And anyone that is within listening distance gets a bit burned, I think, from this text. That's the point, though. Our text is James 1, 22 to 25. But imagine different assemblies of Christ scattered throughout the known world. These different assemblies, mainly at this point to whom he's writing, messianic believers, messianic Jews that have been born again by God's grace and have attached themselves to the local assembly, and they're scattered due to severe persecution. And so imagine them focusing only on the persecution and the difficulties in which they're facing. And it would be easy to get obsessed with what they're going through. Isn't that true? And not only that, but they would have begun to dip in their godly character and begin to mistreat each other and get unrighteously angry with each other and even maybe blame God as a result of their trial. And if we're not careful, James told us earlier in this passage, if we're not careful, we can get angry because of the trials that we face and have fits of anger and outbursts and fits of rage. And in the middle of all of that, James bluntly tells them and tells us today to just do it. Just do it. Just do what? Be doers of the word. Do what the word of God says. Obey the word of God. If you've ever met someone that is a dreamer type person, I knew you would laugh. They are great people. And they're super optimistic. And they have this kind of vision in their mind's eye about how things could be. But sometimes a dreamer can be dreaming with their heads in the clouds while everyone else is working around them on the day-to-day stuff that has to get done. If you're not a dreamer, you might get a little bit annoyed by the dreamer because, you know, you're thinking while they're giving you their vision for the next 20 years of what it could be, you might be thinking, well, that's great, but can you get out of my way so I can get the work done that needs to be done today? We have stuff to do right now. We have stuff to do that we need to finish so maybe we can work towards your 10-year vision. I need to get to work. And I want to make clear, I'm not saying one type of person is better than the other because God makes everyone differently. We need both kinds of people. But James today bluntly says we need to do it. We need to obey the word of God. The temptation for us is that we become like sponges and we get to learn so much about the word of God and through different means and avenues. And if we're not careful, we simply become sponges. And all we do is absorb the information that we hear, and it doesn't change us. And how do we know it's not changing us? Because we're not doing what it says to do. If you have a sponge in your kitchen and it gets wet and you use it quite a bit and it just soaks and soaks and it just sits out, it begins to stink, doesn't it? You see, we're not made to just take in information from the Word of God. We're made to take in information by the power of the Word of God and then obey the Word of God. He gives us His Word to obey it. A disciple of Jesus Christ is first a learner that obeys God's commands in His Word. Think about how many times we've heard a sermon or a Sunday school lesson or read a devotion or listened on the radio, a teaching from the Word of God, and maybe we inwardly agreed with it or even out loud said amen or yes, or maybe we grunted something in agreement. Maybe, depending on what kind of background you have, maybe you said preach. Right? Or that's good preaching. But how many times have we heard the Word of God or read the Word of God or memorized the Word of God, but we left from where we heard it and we continued in the same sinful behavioral patterns we were doing before we heard or read or memorized the Word of the Lord? To relate this section, and let me read the verses, but verses 22 to 25 of James 1. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. To relate this to the previous section, remember James commanded us in verse 19 that every person must be quick to hear and slow to speak and slow to anger. So to connect that with what James says today, how are you doing in those areas? How are you doing in your listening? Are you becoming more obedient to the Word of God and you're listening to Him and to others before you speak? Are you someone that often assumes things and you make assumptions and you try to finish the sentence of someone else instead of listening to what they're saying? Are you still getting angry in traffic all the time when someone cuts you off or doesn't use their turn signal? Isn't it true that many around here don't even know they have one of those, right? What about when your kids get on your nerves? Are you angry all the time and they interrupt your you time? Isn't it true for moms and dads that the reason we often lose our temper with our children is because they're simply getting in the way of what we want to do? Several weeks ago when I preached upon that, after service and we were going home, I think my wife said, she said, that was good. She said, she jokingly said, but how dare you? That was convicting, but I can't believe you would say that to us. That's the goodness of the Word of God, isn't it? Another couple after that service said, I think you've got some cameras in our house and that's why you're preaching about that. That's why I preach through the books of the Bible, so no one can accuse me about that, right? And I want the Word of God to speak to us. James, of course, warns us that man's anger doesn't produce God's righteousness. That's why we must be slow to anger. James told us to put away all filthiness and wicked rampantness, as it is moral corruption to live in that kind of anger all the time. And James tells us to be humble in our reception of the engrafted and planted Word of God, as it is the Word of God that God uses to save our souls. And God uses His Word because therein lies His power to change lives. And so now the commandment in the text today is to be doers of the Word and not hearers only. That's pretty straightforward. When James commands his audience to be doers of the Word, he is meaning this: prove yourselves to be those that are true believers as you obey God's Word. This word or phrase, be doers, was a word in the original used for performers. Someone that was producing and performing. You know, you can't fake Christianity for so long. Your life will be marked by obedience as a true believer, or by disobedience if you don't truly believe. So be a doer of the Word and not a hearer only. And again, the command that James gives us is a command. So to believers today, James doesn't give us options here. The modern listener wants his freedoms and independence to be his own person. And he's just not going to be told what to do. And yet the holy creator of the universe commands his people that we do what the Word says. The word for hearer is very interesting. Be a doer of the Word and not a hearer only. Or not just, we could say it this way, not just merely a hearer. That word is interesting. The Latin equivalent to the word for hearer is speaking of someone that was an auditor in a class. Maybe you've audited a class in college. And isn't that kind of the nice way to learn, right? Where you pay less money, you just get to listen and learn. You don't have to do the papers, and you don't have to take the midterm exam and the final exam. That's the way to go, right? If you can. But the auditor would sit in the class and attend class and listen and glean from all of the teachings and get the assignments, but he's not required to do the work. He can go and listen and take notes, but he doesn't have to do the work for the class. He's merely a hearer only. That's James's point here. Be a doer and not merely a hearer only. There are many in the church in America that are simply hearers only. They want to attend the services, listen to the teaching, participate in the singing. Many even might read their Bibles regularly, but they're hearers only. This is the one that wants to live as a consumer in the church and simply takes but never contributes. He likes the nice pews and the bathrooms, right, and the programs the church might have, but doesn't want to take responsibility to help pay for the mortgage or the programs or the furthering of the gospel. I think the average giving in the American church is probably $20 per week. And although the average believer has heard Jesus say, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on the earth, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven," they simply refuse to do what the King says. This is the church hopper that has maybe 2 to 3 churches they rotate to, depending on the day of the week or which program is happening at which church. I heard a story of one young man that liked one church's music, but another's preaching. So he would get to the first one just in time for the music to start and would leave when the music was over. He had planned it out so perfectly that he could stop at McDonald's and get a biscuit between places. Then he would arrive at the next place just in time for the preaching. Imagine that consumer mindset. This is the one that refuses to join a church because that would require accountability to that particular body and to that particular shepherd or shepherds. Did you know, and you can turn over to Hebrews 13 real quickly, Hebrews 13, 7. As I'm going to read these, did you know that the Bible commands all believers to remember their pastors, to consider their outcome and way of life, to obey them, and to submit to them? Hebrews 13, 7. Remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Hebrews 13, 17. Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they're keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. Maybe some have never heard those verses. There are people that refuse to join a church because they don't want a pastor to shepherd them and watch for their souls and check in with them and ask them what's going on in their lives and God forbid, hold them accountable. That term, watch for your souls, is a shepherding term, just like the shepherd of the sheep that would stay up at night and make sure the wolves would not get to the sheep. Pastors, watch for your souls. Pastoring is serious business. You see, I give an account to the chief shepherd. It's not time to play around when it comes to this. And many today in America refuse to obey their pastors and submit to them. And they think they're just so strong and independent because no one's going to tell me what to do, even if it's straight from the Bible. Imagine that pride, though. James would later say that God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. God actively opposes the proud. The one that refuses to obey their spiritual leaders that are simply saying, here's what the word says, we need to be doing it. The one that refuses to do so is not doing themselves or anyone else any good at all. It's no advantage to you to live that way. The writer of Hebrews tells us that the men of that God raises up, keeps watch over your souls as those who have to give an account. And how do we keep watch over your souls? By the proper, careful exegesis of the Scriptures. By shepherding you throughout life, by knowing the Scriptures and giving them to you. We're feeders. We're feeders. We give God's people the Word of God in a culture that hates the Word of God, that is bored with the Word of God. This is serious business. And the shepherd and the sheep are to obey the leaders so that the leaders can watch for their souls with joy and not with grief. But the average believer today will resist that to the degree, thinking that, man, I know it's what it says in the Word, but I'm not doing that. The word for that is obstinate. Many believers today have swallowed the lie that the corporate gatherings or assemblings of the church are not that important, and God doesn't care about that at all. And many foolishly think I can grow on my own, and they think that God is pleased with that mindset. The isolationist mindset. Turn over back to Hebrews chapter 10, just a few pages over to your left. Hebrews 10, 23 to 25. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and to good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. This is certainly a problem today, where many have said, you know what, my habit's going to be is I don't need to meet with the church. I don't need it. But it was a problem in the first century. That's why God wrote it in his word. It's not that important. This is all connected to our level of faith, by the way. We are not to be trying to do some kind of isolationist method of growing. This is COVID time, so I'm not talking about that, right? There are people that are older that are not here today for that reason. I'm not talking about that. But there's a problem today in the modern church, and this is it. I don't need to meet with them. I don't have time for that. Not only is it a problem, but the Hebrew writer says this: not only ought we not to neglect to meet together. People always talk about, I could be the church but not there. Well, okay, church means assembly. Okay, so that's not true. All the more as you see the day drawing near. You see, the problem is we don't really believe that the day is drawing near. What day is that? The day of the Lord. Do we really live as if Christ might return tonight? Most don't. So the closer we get, and that happens every moment, doesn't it? Because at some point, Christ is going to wrap this thing up. And I'm fine if it's tomorrow. Right? That'd be great. But he's going to come back. And the closer we get to that, the more we need the meeting together of believers. That's what he's saying. All the more as you see the day drawing near. This is not a new concept at all. It's all over the New Testament, in which New Testament believers, saved by the grace of God, they rearranged their days around worship. Many will hear that and get mad at it and bristle at it and say, well, that's this or that, but many today might hear this, and maybe some will hear it online and say, I'm not going to increase my commitment to the local gatherings of the church. And that's because they're only merely hearers of the word and not doers of the word. Many Christian men today refuse to step up and lead their homes biblically. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 5. Many don't know that that's what God expects of them, but many just refuse to do so. Ephesians 5, 22 to 32. I just want to read the text and just talk for a few moments from it. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife. Let me read verse 23 again, okay? Because our thinking in modern times is so skewed because of wicked feminism. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church, because we are members of his body. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife. The two shall become one flesh. This mystery is profound, and I'm saying that it refers to Christ and the church. However, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. Many believing men, they are saying they believe in Christ, refuse to step up and lead their homes biblically as the head of the home, and are passive, and they actively surrender the reins of leadership to their wives, and they think they're being progressive and woke, but they're just being disobedient to God's word. On that note, many believing men that say they're believers know that the word of God tells us to love our wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for it, and yet many refuse to do so. Many men that say they believe the gospel refuse to say to their wives and their children, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord, because they're scared to say it. Many women that say they believe the gospel think that it's archaic and out of touch to submit to their own husbands and to reverence their own husbands, and they're stubborn and obstinate and refuse to listen to their husbands. And they think they're being progressive and woke, but they're just hearers only. Many believers have heard from the Word of God that they were equipped by the Holy Spirit at salvation with spiritual gifts to serve Him and His church, and are commanded to contribute by serving in the church with the gifts He gave them, and yet many refuse to serve Jesus and His bride in that manner because of selfishness or laziness or just disobedience. And if for that person that is like that auditor, but an auditor in the church, you're not a doer but a hearer only. And James also says you're deceiving your own self. So I wonder if you're self-deceived today. Many theologians kind of debate about what this really means. James makes no bones about it, though. You're either someone that's a doer of the word, or you're a hearer only who's actively deceiving your own self. And the point here is that many think they're okay to simply just hear the word of God. But if their hearing of the word of God isn't partnered up with doing what they've heard, it's not obedience. So we ought not to think our lives are right with God if your life is not marked by obeying His word. This is written to the church, and many in the church in any era are in danger of thinking that because they might be physically part of a church, that they're spiritually part of the kingdom. But being physically part of a church never indicates that faith is real, necessarily. James, in this letter, keeps hitting home the practical aspects of being a true believer. And if one says they're a believer only and has no works that go with it, it's not sufficient, because a faith that is not accompanied with works is, James would say, a dead faith. A faith without works is dead, James would say. That's powerfully convicting. A faith without works is not a kind of faith that is saving faith. James would later say. You see, if you have what James calls saving faith, you are a new creation as you've been born again of God's Spirit and you've believed in Jesus. And if that's the case, you're a new person. And therefore, the good works of obeying God's word that you never desired to do before Christ saved you, you now desire to do. Many, though, are self-deceived. And I got to tell you that that's a good checkup for you. Because if you don't desire to obey the word of God, you're not His. Jesus makes that abundantly clear. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. Many will hear a sermon straight from the scripture and say, well, that's great for them, but not for me. I'm not going to do that at all. That sounds like a Pharisee. Without fail, Jesus makes clear that every person will be known by their fruit. So the fruit that you bear simply demonstrates what's really in your heart. Many of the Jews in the days of Jesus and in the days of James writing, as James was writing this, many of the Jews were self-deceived because they really didn't have a heart for God at all. And they thought they were keeping His law. And if they'd keep the law of God, they'd get to the kingdom of God because of that. But they didn't really love God and they were not obeying Him at all. They were simply trying to earn salvation. I wonder if you're delusional. It's another terminology that's a synonym for deceiving yourself. I wonder if you're delusional and deceiving your own self today. What's the measure that indicates that? James makes it clear. If you're not one that does what the word of God says to do, but you're simply an auditor, a hearer only. Now, then James gives us this really interesting illustration to give us a picture of what it means to be simply a hearer and not a doer. Verses 23 and 24. If anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror, for he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. James uses a generic term as he says, if anyone is a hearer and not a doer. That's an indefinite pronoun, and it means exactly what it's translated as, and it speaks of any person, any kind of person. But then later in the verse, he uses a more specific term on purpose. If anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, anyone, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror, for he looks at himself and goes away and forgets once what he was like. There he used the more specific masculine term for man. Why is that? Well, the illustration makes quite a bit of sense, right? Let's be honest, generally speaking, okay? And this is not a bad thing or anything, but generally speaking, ladies will spend more time in front of a mirror getting ready, right? Just the fact. And ladies will be specific and take their time and make sure everything's right. And if it's not, they will spend more time doing so. If they look in the mirror and something is out of place, they'll take care of it. But men, maybe so, maybe not. Men generally will not take care of it. In fact, if we can be honest, we might not even look in the mirror before we leave the house. Right? That's why maybe sometimes we walk out and our wife says, you're wearing that. Right? Or, you're not wearing that. Or, why are you wearing that? Or, why does your face look like that? Right? Or, your clothes don't match. But the one who's merely a hearer and not a doer is like the man who looks in the mirror and James says he looks intently and walks away and at once forgets what he was like. He forgets at once what he was like. He fails to care for what he looked like. He neglects what needed to be fixed. This is the one listening to a sermon and can't wait to get out so he can do the next thing on the list for things to do that day. This is the one that hears a sermon from the Word of God and has decided in the midst of the sermon he or she's not going to even attempt to change or obey what they heard or be a doer of the Word of God. This is the one that listens to it on the radio or online, has decided not going to obey God's Word. This is the one that hears a sermon and it speaks directly to the area of their life that needs to be confessed and repented of, and they're refusing to do so. Maybe they say, I don't have time to deal with that, or they foolishly think it doesn't apply to them, or whatever it might be. And isn't it true that it's easy for us to be tempted to justify our sins or explain our sins away? We often might sit in a service and hear preaching, yeah, I wish they were here to hear that. Right? Thinking it's for them and not us. Don't be self-deceived. If nothing else, James is urging believers to examine their hearts to see if they're in the faith. The New Testament constantly tells us to do that. Examine yourselves to see if you're in the faith at all. Make your calling and election sure. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Because there are many. Listen, this is really important. Many will stand before Christ one day, the righteous judge of all the earth, and they think that they'll be okay, but he will say to them, depart from me, I never knew you, you workers of lawlessness. And they'll be stunned. They'll be stunned. They'll even say, but didn't we do works in your name? We cast out demons in your name? That's really dangerous, to be self-deceived. And James wraps up his point here, verse 25, and then he contrasts the one that does obey God's word. But the one who looks to the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. I love the way James describes the law of God. For the unregenerate person, we know that the Bible tells us that we're all under the law, the weight of the law of God before salvation. And the unsaved are unable to keep it, and it stands as a judge against them. It's too heavy for them. They're under the law. And God uses that to cause many of unbelievers to realize they're completely unable to keep it, and many will run to Christ as a result, according to his sovereign grace in their lives. But for the believer, we are not under the law in that sense. But it's not as if we just throw out the law of God. This is a New Testament book, isn't it? He's writing about the law of God. James says, the one that looks into the perfect law. Think about that. That's the same language of looking in a mirror. You're looking into the perfect law. Why do we need to read our word, the Word of God, and study the Word of God and hear the Word of God? Because we're looking into it like it is a mirror. Okay? When James calls it the perfect law of God, it's perfect in that it is complete and it's lacking in nothing at all. There is no other source that we must look into to help us, as we have all things that pertain to life and godliness, Peter says. So he calls it the perfect law. You need help, folks. Look to the Word. Obey the Word. But he also says it's the law of liberty. The most miserable person is the believer, if it exists, by the way, that keeps resisting obedience to God's Word. Many resist obeying God's law because they think it enslaves, but James calls it the law of liberty. It does not enslave us, but it is actually what sets us free. The Word of God is liberating, and it's so liberating to obey His Word because In it is the power to set us free from the power of sin and the consequences of sin. God's not trying to enslave us. He's trying to set us free from ourselves. It does not enslave, but it sets us free. And the one that does not obey it will not be blessed, but misery will continue as sin continues to wreak havoc in their lives and as God's judgment or his discipline comes against them. The one, James says, who looks into God's perfect law of liberty and doesn't act as a hearer only, but who forgets, but will be a doer who acts, James says he will be blessed in his doing. Sometimes we think that happiness is about how things are going. We think that happiness will come if we just get some more money, or if all our problems go away, if all those people that get on our nerves will stop bothering us, if our family will stop bothering us, or whatever it might be. We think we'd be happy. But that's not true happiness. That's not biblical happiness. You see, you could be struggling in every area of life, but truly be spiritually blessed and happy because you're obeying God's word. It is then that we're blessed. So you and I can choose to be blessed or miserable in our doing. But it will be shown in your life. Which one will you be? Will you be set free to obey and blessed and happy, or miserable and disobedient? Be doers of the word and not hearers only. Let's pray today. Father, we thank you for your word. It's so relevant and so powerful. Thank you for its power to convict us. God, I need it, Lord. I need to be convicted. I need to dig into your truth so that it changes me. So help us, Lord, to be doers of the word and not hearers only. God, as you commanded us to do, but we knowing that we can't do it in our own strength. We, as the song we sang earlier says, we don't have the power within us on our own to obey your commands, but we can by dependence upon your Holy Spirit. Help us to do so. In Jesus' name, amen.